in Shara Tefillah, okay? So we are going to continue in the vein of L'shem Yichud. Last week we began discussing the L'shem Yichud controversy, where the Noida Yehuda wrote very sharply against this Kabbalistic rite being introduced to the world. They managed until now without it, and the Noida Yehuda wrote very sharply against the recitation of L'shem Yichud. The Be'er Mayim Chaim, Sidur Shal Shabbos, in his Sefer Shara HaTfilah, has a lengthy, oft-quoted tshuva, and we are on Shin Tzadikei in this print, and it's Simon Zion. Aladav Asher Kosav Shal, and about that which you wrote, Shetovim Hayu Adair Shelefnez Manenu Shleyadu Mizah, the fact that earlier generations, who were far greater than us, did fine without this. Despite the fact that they were toiled all their days in Torah, so they were far superior. Ad kan, for the quote from the Noda Yehuda, Koira ani al zeh, I say about this, writes the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Al Tomer, quoting the Pasuk in Kehelis, Al Tomer, don't say Shahayomim harishonim hayotayim mi'ela, that earlier days were better than now. As Shlomo HaMelech says, Kilei mechachma shaltazeh, this is not coming from wisdom. Whoa. This is, them are biting words. Because this issue was already gone through in a very seichodik way, begoidl birer acher birer menupe b'shleish eser nape. Clarity after clarity, and it was sieved through 13 sieves. Shehaike b'chol ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvahs, that the main objective in all of observance of Torah and mitzvahs, hem teichen u'pnimiyusan, are their inner meanings, v'haruchni yishabahem, and the spirituality that's in them, and throwing in the words that are going to be critical to this message, mishmoysav shalakadosh baruch hu hanalamim bahem. Because in each and every mitzvah are contained shemes hakdoshim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are contained in the performance of that mitzvah and in the Torah that we're learning. V'chol ha-svarim sifrei kodesh melei mizen. I don't need to tell you, because all of the svarim hakdoshim are full of this. U'b'roisham ha-goyin ha-muvik b'al ha-shloh ha-kodesh, especially in the works of the Shloh. She'erichu b'rayis mivurareis, who go on and on with absolute clear proofs, she'chiluk u'merchek rav, that it is a distance of tremendous distance, lahagdil l'mayla ad ein shir ben alimet atayr mekay mitzviseh b'pshutei l'vat, that there's a huge, vast valley between people who learn Torah and perform mitzvahs just on the simplest of level, or the people who go looking for the shemes hakdoshim and the spiritual, deeper spiritual meaning contained in the mitzvahs. Next page. Shin Tzadik Vav. Now, he veers off topic for a moment. Aside from all the praises that I just heaped upon those who look for the deeper meanings, just on the simplest level, forget about what it does to the mitzvah, but we'll look at what it does. A person who delves into the deeper meanings, the person is infused with greater love and greater awe. Is that not the goal of why we do Torah and mitzvahs? That which we started today. This week, Mishneh Torah, we're starting Sefer Dvarim. Isn't that what it's all about? The word Dveikus is mentioned who knows how many times on the Ahav of the Yira and so on. So if all of this is going to bring a person to Ahav and Yira, then that itself is a goal unto itself. Forget about what it does to any particular mitzvah. V'omnom. And now he takes on the world. V'omnom kol dvareim yusodom al yusod gadol. All of the words mentioned by the Shloh and the other Svarim that talk about that there has got to be a deeper meaning, they are all built on one fundamental foundation. Shabirish kulam watano the kiyar ashbizal. Shimon bar Yochai, shalei niglu kol tolum es chachma, to whom it was revealed all the secrets of wisdom. Vahu miganem oid, and he is revolted by, he's disgusted by, lemisha ein noisin liboy lilmed pnimiyas haTorah, to people who do not attempt to learn the secret areas of Torah. Kashi yuchal l'shar b'nafshe, and I'm not saying that everybody here has to become, he says, a professional Kabbalist, but to the degree that a person can handle it, b'dechilu v'rechim ha'damare, with love and awe of their Creator. What's more, Reb Shimon bar Yochai writes, u'shekol ikke gu'ula seinu p'tus nafshenu tolu b'zeh, we need to know that the gu'ula shleima is dependent upon this. Upon what? Upon learning Sisrei Torah, upon learning Kabbalah. And he brings here three rayas from the Zohar. We could learn them, but I want to get to some of the other things. But he quotes, let's just go to the third one. The third paragraph. Valda ha'sipura d'araisa. You got it? The third paragraph down? These stories of the Torah, levusha de'araisa ihu, they are but garments to the true Torah. Man dechoshev, and anybody who thinks, dehai levusha ihu araisa mamish, that these stories, or for that matter, the clothing of the mitzvahs, are the real Torah, v'lay mila achra, and if there's nothing deeper going on, tipach ruche, he should rot. Ubegin keinam David, and this is what David HaMelech says, Gal einai, reveal my eyes ve'abit in the flesh of Torah, so that I could see the wonders of your Torah. Ma detchois levusha da daraisa, that which is beneath the surface of this Torah.
Where does he write
this? He brings it here, it's in Baal Eischa. This is just a continuation of the other one.
Zohar.
Yeah, these are both quotes directly from the Zohar. In the next one, he remembers the exact same thing. A person who just looks at the levushim and doesn't look underneath it, which is the ikr, the neshama of Torah, and so on. Okay, so go to the next page. Shin Sadik Zayin. Ukidvarim ha'ela, and similar to the words of the Zayin, big surprise coming now, mevayar b'divar b'kadashim la'alofim revavis ein mispar, which are explained in the Zohar thousands of times. Ayin alam timtzayim. Look, just look through the Zohar, you're going to find them. Umaran kodesh kadosh marav arizal. Kosav zel shayin of the arizal writes. Vina Torah atzma yesh laguf v'nefesh. Torah itself has a body and a soul. Haguf b'inyin halavush anizke b'divir chazal. We find this very same terminology throughout Chazal called gufei ha-Torah, the bodies of Torah. But in addition to those halachos, yeshla pnimiyas haTorah, she haneshama, there's the inner, deeper meaning of Torah, which is the soul of Torah. Now he explains with this so magnificently. We know the famous Gemara that the Malachim argued with Moshe Rabbeinu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give your Torah down to humans. Tanoit chal shamayim, give, place your splendor, leave it in heaven. What in the world are the angels going to do with a physical Torah? Says the Arizal, this is what the angels were saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should place His splendor in the heavens. What would they possibly need a Torah for? They have no jealousy, they have no hatred. It's not possible for them to have the prohibition of Leisirtzach. All they were looking for is the Pnimius of Torah. The angels wanted the real Torah. What's the real Torah? That which is behind the Leisirtzach, that which is behind the not hating and so on. They wanted it before it ever came into that form that was applicable to the physical world. Because as it exists above, there's no need for it to take on that form.
It's still above, even when it's below. Still
meaning, why can't they also have it? Okay, it's a different issue. But the bottom line is that it's what's proven from what the angels claimed is that there is a Torah which is not about sin and it's not about murder. Right? You could argue the same thing about the neshama of man also stays above. Just like the neshama of a person needed to come into a physical body in this world, so too, the Torah also has to take on a physical form in this world. But it doesn't take away from the Pnimius HaTorah. That exists just as well. So now, you could argue that that's only true about the wisdom of Torah. Right? There, the Zeneshal Marigov says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, quoting the Arizal, V'chein HaMitzvah Yesh Lagov. The same thing applies to mitzvahs. What's the goof of a mitzvah? The action. V'yesh nishama, but there's also a soul. What's the soul of a mitzvah? The hainu akavana. The intent. The effort that a person puts into it to do it correctly. When a person, when we do mitzvahs without the required intent, it ends up being like a body that lacks a soul. This is what the pasuk says. I want you to keep the entirety of the mitzvah. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us is that our performance of the mitzvah be done with a shleimus, with a wholesomeness, ima kavana v'achiyush Allah, with the intent and the life source. Why? Says the pasuk, l'man tichyu, so that it will be alive. Shatiya mida keneged mida, k'moy shasisa mitzvim chiyusa, just like you're performing a mitzvah with its life force, so too it will be able to sustain you in this world and in the next. Ad kan. Simen Ches. We wrote elsewhere about this. That when we perform mitzvahs robotically, without attention, what's the point? It's just a body. Let's put this in the form of a human. You know what a goylem is, right? A goylem is in a body without an neshama, right? We've all read about goylems. That's like a body without an neshama. It's a dead being. Mitzvahs done without intent remain here below, and they don't have the koyach to be elevated upward. Now, in addition to that, Ukvar Kasavnu, I also wrote, Shebchinas Chiyus Hanishama Shebetoiru Mitzvahs Einarechaleim. We need to understand that the level of chiyus cannot be measured. Ve'ein shtei yadayim zeiches ka'achas lahabit el achiyus shalahem b'shava. No two people will have identical mitzvahs, and no two mitzvah performances of any one of us will ever be the same. So our hanachas tefillin, and one day will never be the same level as the day before. And any mitzvah, we're always going to have a different intent and a different level of intensity. Because after all, the beginning, their introduction to the Chiyus HaMachshava, who Ahava V'Yiramitis, is the very source of the awe and the love. It's the love and the awe that existed before the person ever performed the mitzvah. Umish yesh lelev maski lahavin bigdeile gdeile said the Kenyus Bakshman. And this explains a whole, you really get a glimpse over here in this paragraph into the Chabad philosophy of why it's important to know anything about godliness. Why do they so obsess with the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the greatness of the Bria and the Malachim and the Seder Shtal Shalis and all that kind of stuff? Because if we don't know anything about the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we'll never appreciate who we're doing the mitzvahs for. If it's all about Schar and Einish, if it's all about the obsession with the reward and the punishment, and it's not about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Ahav and Yira don't come into the picture. The only Ahav and Yira that come into the picture are Ahav and Yira of me. I'm doing it so that I can get reward. I'm doing it so that I don't get punished, right? Whereas if we spend some time learning about who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, then we have a different appreciation and a different motivation for why we're doing it in the first place. That's what he's saying here now. A person who has any understanding, a heart to understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if before we go do a mitzvah, and according to the person's yearning and his thirst, to get into the depth of why and what we're doing, again focusing, he keeps on throwing this in, the shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are contained in the mitzvah. This is, the Ramban writes that all of Torah is Shema Yisrael Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of Torah is the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was saying it about mitzvahs as well. To the degree that a person has cleansed their neshama from the averes that they've done, that's another form of preparation. And to the degree that a person was able to cleanse themselves externally, b'chol hatayves hagufnias, from all physical forms of passion and desire, shuhuragel behemayda, that we're all used to ever since we've been babies, ezrei afilu bilti shum kavana gedolei ketana. Then forget about the great secrets and the sisrei kabbalah and any spooky, what they call here, the what do they call it? They have a name for it. Slipping my mind. But the spooky, holy stuff. Without any of that stuff. Use your own parable. Let's say we were standing. Again, this mashal is almost worthless today because the institution doesn't exist anymore of what a melech is. But once upon a time, there used to be kings, right? Say, if we were standing before a king, I had this, the closest mashal I had was when I used to service the Baba Viruv, right? So when he would ask me to bring him something, there was no luckier person in the world, right? So if he would ask me to do something, pass me the salt, please. Can you imagine the desire, the love, that would be engulfed, the person would be contained? I'm able to service such a person? That I'm able to service the king? After we have the experience once, where this amazing person asked me to do something for them once, it creates even greater desire for the next time. Can you imagine if they would ask me to do something else for them? When that moment will come, when he will give it to him, when he will ask him to do it, he'll go like a lion, he'll jump up. He'll run faster than his own abilities can even normally carry him. With a tremendous alacrity and a joy. If somebody were to ask him on the way, how are you doing? Are you crazy? I'm not going to answer you. I'm on the way to fulfill the command of the king. If somebody's going to speak to him, he's not even going to hear him. He's not even going to hear him. It's not going to be rude. His mom is not going to hear him. Julius used to say this about my father. The rabbi is not ignoring you. The rabbi is talking to God. He doesn't hear you. Because he, the person that's running to do the will of the king, and all of his efforts, his body, his thoughts, and all of his limbs, and his sinews, they're all gathered together, and they're all bound. They're on fire to bring the king what he asked them for. And not only that, but he's standing at the door waiting, lest the king might ask him to do something. He doesn't wait around for the king to ask him. He wants to be there so that he'll be there for the minute, 1 minute earlier than the king asked him. Wait, we're not done yet. This is so Ber Maim Chaim Dick. It's incredible. And then, when he finally brings it to the king, can you imagine the guy's going to walk in and throw it on the table? The king asks you to bring him a tea. Here, right? Kim Yovayatzle is going to walk in. He's going to stand there in fright, with a sense of shame, with a sense of humility, with love and joy. And he's going to put it down in front of him with a tremble and with a fear and with an incredible rada. And together with that fear, there's going to be at the same moment, excuse me, a tremendous joy. That's the critical word, the privilege that the king asked him to do this. And I was able to do it. And he takes delight in the fact that he was able to do something at vos that the king can have some pleasure. Now, this would be true if it was bring me a tissue, right? What about something? What about something that only I can do for the king? A special thing that only I have the ability to do. And the king really yearns for it. Let's say I know how to cook or bake something, to make something really good. The king doesn't have access to. And I know the king wants it. And for some reason, the king this time doesn't want to use his normal staff. He doesn't want to use the in-house chef. Or maybe they just don't know how to make a good apple strudel. And he's a simple guy. He knows that the king really liked the strudel. When he comes before the king says to Mankint, do me a favor. Do me this pleasure. Bring me this to give me pleasure. Because I really want this now. He says, can you imagine something like that? How much this person would yearn. How much of a geschmack the person would run to do this over mountains and valleys, over stones and bare and boulders. And even if he were to strike his leg, he wouldn't feel anything. And rain or snow would not prevent him. To be able to literally, even with his life, to attain this. To bring it before the king. With fear, with, it's a better word than shame, blushing maybe. Humility. In his heart, he would be swelling with love, with joy. That he had the privilege to serve the king. Shin tzadik tes. Ve'anim shel muvim yelu. He says, any thinking person understands the lesson by themselves. For the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMelech HaGadol, HaGibah, HaNoir, HaOim, HaTomid, HaLadah, He's always standing there, V'Roi, B'Masav, seeing everything we do. V'Mitzava, HaLadam, and He commands us, B'Ahava, with love, V'Bechiba, G'day, Lev Yisrael, with tremendous treasure. B'Ni, my child, Asay mitzvahs, please perform for me mitzvahs. Shiyeh li l'rotzai n'l'nachas ruach, because for me it is something that I have pleasure in. Kasha tasa mitzvaysai, when you perform my mitzvahs. Midvarim ha'elu shalmat. And interesting, the pshat that he's going to give now is far more about mitzvahs maisiyas than it is about limud ha'Torah. I would love for you to perform a mitzvah with something down there. Kibar mitzvahs ha'tfilin. Let's take, since we have a guy who just started putting on tefillin, so that's why he uses this mashal. Like the mitzvah of tefillin, hanasin me'ara behema, that's made out of a piece of leather of an animal, shugidu the karka, which grows off of the ground, referring to what the animal eats. A mitzvah tzitzis, hanasin mitzvah rachedim. What about the mitzvah of tzitzis that's made out of the wool from sheep? And itilas lulav, uminav, hagidelem alamayim. They grow on water, or any other physical mitzvah. So why would the Ribbono Shel Olam ask us humans to do this? Ki mishar se'al yayinim, because his servants above, malachei mala, the angels there, einam makirim bidvar meila, they are very shvachim mevinim on leather. Kein b'shamei ha'shamayim al yayinim, because they're up there in heaven. It is we who are living in the physical realm. We are the ones who know these things that grow. And he uses this term specifically, these things that generate all kinds of taivas. Ushmo Yizbarach Mis'aven, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a particular desire. And again, this is based on the Chazal. That Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mis'ave. He has a desire to have a dira b'tachtayim. This is a takeoff on the Medrash Tanchuma. And the Baal Tanya in the Likutei Torah writes, why? He says, Avataiva kemen kakasha nishfregi. That's in Tzemach Tzedek, repeated from the his grandfather. You can't ask why somebody likes something.
It's super rational.
Why do I like salty things over sweet things? Because there's no rational to it. So Hashem Yisbach Mis'av the Rebbeinu Shel Olam desires Shenase Mitzvahs, so that we should fulfill His mitzvahs. Bidvarim Ha'elu, with these things, Bichdei Shetimale Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. No, look what he says here. What's the tachlis? So that the physical world, every time we perform a mitzvah, utilizing a physical object, we are filling the world with Hashem's presence. That's the tachlis here. V'yedek al pol, and every creation should know ki hu payaloi, that He is the one who created him. V'yavin kol yitzir ki hu yitzrei, and everything that was formed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu will end up knowing that He formed him, because we are some way utilizing it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
If the world didn't exist, that His honor wouldn't fill it. That,
I think he's saying that that's one of the main purposes of the Bria, of this physical world.
Because His honor would fill the world no matter what.
Without a world?
Not without the world, without, let's say, all these...
That's part of the same taiva. I mean, that goes back to that, you're right, but Adai Noelam Hashem Malach, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. He was a melech, but it's only Leis Nasa B'chef Tzakar, as I'm melech, Shemay Nikra. That Adai Noelam asks and answers your question. Why? Ve'veist. But it explains why us and not them. Why humans? The Ribbono Shel Olam has much pure, He's got angels galore. What does He need us for? So, to go back and address that a little bit, again, the Baal Tanya Likutei Torah, and the Kedushas Levi says this in his Kedushas Levi, Sefer happens to be named Kedushas Levi. So he says that a melech paid top dollar for a parrot that speaks. So one of his Grezi Kep said to him, Adeni HaMelech, if you want somebody that speaks, we have some women. They know how to speak great. What do you need to go pay $100,000 for a bird? So the Melech says to him, a human that can speak is kan kinsnisht. A bird that can speak is a chiddush. The Baruch Hashem says the same thing about Malachim. I have plenty of angels. A human that wants to serve me, that's willing to serve me, that's a chiddush. That's what he's talking about. V'zeu tainug lefonav nachas ruach. Rashi says this. What's taich nachas ruach? Rashi says, she'omarti v'nasi ritzoni, that I spoke to a human and the human listened to me. That's a chiddush. Most humans, if anybody's checked recently, are not running to do the Ratzon Hashem. And this is a Nachas Ruach. Halloy, but if we think about it in these terms, and the more we know about the king, the greater is going to be the chiddush of the fact that little me is able to do something to give the Melech Malchei Hamlochim a pleasure, right? Is Halei Kol Koichi Yaakov and Nishmosti Asher B'Kibim Kol Mitzi Dam Nafsha Enim Kadoim Niskayim Klal Regechot. My entire life wouldn't be worth it even for one moment. Rak Lirdav Kikorei Kaharim Lasis Mitzvus Halalu B'Kolayis Nefesh Mamish. And again, this goes back to we have to remember every time we do a mitzvah, this is a great frame to frame our minds every time we do any mitzvah, and that is, my entire life, with all of its misery and pain and difficulties, would be worth it just for this one moment. And then we ought to think about whether this mitzvah performance reflects a mitzvah that would be worth our whole life for this one moment. But the truth is absolutely true, that it would be worth a person to be in the world for 100 years to be able to have the privilege once to serve the king.
According to that what you were saying before about where by us doing this is that we make it that His honor fills the world, then according to that, you read us the darius is definitely up to us, because as long as we choose to keep doing this, as long as all of us are doing this,
good. So he's addressing that head on, meaning that's what he addressed it on. He said kifi kachenu. Anybody who walks around now thinking he's going to do a mitzvah like the Arizal did a mitzvah needs a serious doctor, right? But doing the best we can do.
But if we're doing the best we can do, why did it change?
There we have the whole gestalt. You have the whole structure of neshamas. You have mitzvahs, people were able to do them with tremendous kavanas, and then there's a separate delight. In this regard, who's greater? Why?
Us, because it's Igvei Mashiach, since we're
able. So therefore, he's going to say that. Our mitzvahs in a certain way are greater because the lower we go, the greater chiddush there is in the fact that we can do it. We could bring the Rebbeinu Shalom pleasure in these things, in the physical things. And they need to be done with trembling, with fear. Because he's standing there and watching us. But in our hearts, we need to be swelling with joy and rejoicing. We are havaling kates and tremendous love. That we had the merit to fulfill this mission. Halloy. After all, if we pay attention to this issue, we won't be able to rest. It'll be difficult for us to eat and to sleep. All will be inflamed to chase constantly, to grab any mitzvah opportunity with love and with joy. With a burning desire, like a flame, la'in kates mamish. Now his mamish going to describe us. Unbelievable how accurately he gets this. The minute we get out of bed, we mamish can't wait to desire with this just incredible anticipation. Mamish makes us sick. We can't wait for the sun to come up so that we can don our tzitzis and our tefillin in Kriya Shema, right? Mamish, a description. In order to fulfill the mitzvahs, Asher tzivonu b'ahava, that he commanded us with love. Shaloi al menas lekabel pras b'shum tzad. And of course, without any intent of personal reward. But, he adds, av shebevada le'yukupach schareinu. Don't ever fear The original never will withhold our reward. V'nidish teva v'racha, and we will receive tremendous bounty and goodness. Ba'ad kol mitzvah kale v'chamura, for every mitzvah. V'ein shir, to infinity. V'kol mokam migeva v'yichiv yitin lev alzeh. Who can possibly live and ponder that? V'chiyash yoset teva v'racha, can there be a greater blessing? V'mash anachnu oitzim l'shmayis baruch tainug v'nachas, the fact that we could give HaKadosh Baruch Hu pleasure and nachas yosem kol malachim alim, more so than the angels above. Haim ein roi limser le nafshenu v'ruchoshenu v'nishmesenu. Would it not be worth to literally give over our lives? Yahav rabba v'tshuka azav v'namana kaidem kol mitzvah, before each and every mitzvah that we can do. Ba'ad mashet zivonu la'asas mitzvahs v'zboch, just for the fact that we can do a mitzvah. I mean, it sounds so reasonable. And then when it comes down to it, it's so hard to do.
We don't feel it.
Well, I think this requires chazara and chazara and chazara. It requires focus, and why we're not taught this in yeshiva. The yetzahara of mitzvah sanashim milamada is the worst yetzahara in the world.
Of the more you habitual, work
at
it, the harder he's
going to get. That's right. Habitual mitzvah performance. A disease called FFB syndrome is the kiss of death.
But it's more than that too. It's like what Paul was saying. Like the Rita that we have, we don't even know what a melech is. We have no hasaga for any of this.
Okay, but I think that we all know people who we sense that privilege being around. Let's do one more simon, because here he puts it into some terms of we could wrap our arms around them. Achai Beis Yisrael, my brethren, Nidav and Abit. He talks about us now. He addresses this head on. And again, this is 200 years ago, guys. So you can imagine that it's gotten worse. Take a look. Kama chashchuein neinu. Look how dark our eyes have become. V'hashmein levaveinu, and how comfortable we've become. She'ein anu magishim kozeh. Mamish, what we just discussed. We don't feel it. We feel nothing. We don't chase after anything except for our tivus. We don't yearn for the mitzvah before the time comes. I think that there are times, by the way, in the year that we do.
You do.
I think that Chanukah, we got the, you know, the sukkahs and Chanukah. There's certain things. To say, when will the moment come that we'll be able to give pleasure to our Creator? Sheila, can you replace the seltzer, please? These sweet zisa mitzvahs. And to create an image that the Rebbe Hashem is standing there and begging of us. Kaimu mitzvahs ha-kindalach. Fulfill my mitzvahs. Vaseli nachas ruach, and give me that pleasure. Why don't we feel it? Why don't we hear him? V'zahakoyl afilu bilti nesinas leiv. And this, by the way, he says, this is even without learning any kisvei Arizal. L'yidias tam shum mitzvah mitzvahs. Even without learning sefer achinuch. The simple mitzvahs. The simple reason of the mitzvahs. Just because. Rak b'meh shakadosh baruch hu mitzvah v'senu. Just because Hashem said so.
With no feeling.
That would be enough and more lahava v'yirad k'leis nefesh mamash. That should be enough to generate the love and the awe, literally to death. But how much more so? Mishi yedei k'tzas t'k'tzas. Anybody knows a wee bit. About the secrets of mitzvahs. Kama alfil alofim riboy revavas elomis. This gets, because you have to remember, everything he's going to say here in the positive is true for the opposite. See? Everything he's going to discuss here, what we accomplish when we do a mitzvah, we have to know that when we don't do a mitzvah, or chas v'shalom, or even avera, we destroy the equivalent. Okay? How many tens of thousands and millions of worlds anachnu misaknin al yadayim, we rectify by performing mitzvahs? Kam yichudim v'zivugim anachnu esim l'mala. How many unifications of Hashem's name do we create above? Kam brochus, by the way, on that session on Torah Anytime that I did on the Baba Verov, I discuss a magnificent yichud that is accomplished. That's kedai the whole session. Kama brachos v'hashpois, how many blessings and bounty, ginzei chayim v'ginzei shalom, treasure houses of life and peace, oitzu shel yiras shamayim, and how much God-fearingness we could bring into the world, utshuva and repentance, that our mitzvah here is going to affect some Jew in the Himalayas. V'chol b'chines ha-brachos v'olim, and all the blessings in the world, anachna mamshichin, we're able to bring here into the world, ayidei mitzvaseinu, through our mitzvahs. Kama v'kama shemes mishmoisav yizborach misyachtim u'miskashrim u'misalam ayidei mitzvaseinu. How many of these shemes become unified and elevated through our mitzvahs? V'ala koil, and mainly, kama tainug v'simcha, how much pleasure and joy v'nachas ruach, and another word for pleasure, magia liberenu mezeh, does Hashem receive from this? Is manayim amanadaba, what do we have to discuss? Should we not be ashamed of ourselves? Won't we be embarrassed in the world to come before our Creator? Are we not going to be ashamed of our lifeless mitzvahs, our robotic mitzvahs? And kama v'kama achrei esekvi, and how many we do late? Ubemhiras Rav, and we do quickly. And all we're thinking about are our physical pleasures, even while we're doing them. What are we going to answer on the Day of Judgment? When we don't even pay attention to him. Sometimes we don't remember if we're doing a mitzvah or if we're doing some work. Sometimes our mitzvah performance is even less respectable than our mitzvahs, than our physical actions. This kills me. Because when we are doing stuff about our shtusim, we are very careful to measure and to do everything correct. Shia the tachlis, I'll tell you that everything should be perfect. To make them as pretty as we can, and to make them as strong. So that they're going to last a very long time. Right? We want to know what the resale value is going to be. Mitzvahs. And when it comes to mitzvahs, we don't make sure that they should be perfect. K'may l'moshel b'tfilin. He's picking on you. Let's take for an example, tfilin. Enim abit klal im aritzua oyabatim enim shchoyrim kedas. We don't make sure on a regular basis that the straps or the cases are black enough. Ayim en aritzua rechove kol kach, or is there enough width left in it? Ayim abatim enim riboyim, do we make sure that they're square enough? Or are they laying on our foreheads and not above the hairline like they need to be? We grab, we put them on without thinking about what's going on. At least the simple meaning that's brought in Shulchan Aruch about each and every mitzvah, shouldn't we ponder the fact that we are able to unify Hashem's name with each mitzvah? For instance, with the mitzvah of tefillin, just take a minute before we put them on. Look at the tefillin and say to yourself, what is this? Is this just a slab of wood that I'm putting on this way? In these tefillin are parshiyos that are written. What's written in them? What's written in there is the unity of Hashem's name in the world. What's in tefillin? Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The fact that all there is in the world is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, nothing but Him. And the miracles that Hashem did for us when He took us out of Egypt. If we think about that and we understand that we're putting them on, that's accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has power to do the world as He wishes. Just like He did in Egypt. And He commanded us the hand to remember the outstretched arm by Mitzrayim. And He told us to put it on our hearts, opposite the heart. Because tefillin, we're always looking for skulas. Tefillin is a skula to see to it that our taivis, our desires, and our thoughts will be towards serving Hashem. And we put on the tefillin on the head, kineged amayach, opposite the mind, that the neshama that's in our mind and the rest of our senses and strengths should be meshubed, they should be completely enslaved, dedicated to avodas Hashem. Hakol kemavir ba'amiras l'shem yichud, as is clearly explained in the Shem Yichud, and in parentheses, u'b'shulchan aruch, as is explained even in Shulchan Aruch. All right, we'll finish this up next week.